But we begin today with downtown. Because downtown got excited, Drew. Downtown says, they had a thing this morning where they said that there are 58 projects. Not guesswork. There's 58 things in the pipeline that are going to occur, residential, retail, what have you, corporate stuff, that will be completed between now and 2017. That's just a couple of years from now. Totaling almost $1.4 billion worth of stuff. That's a lot. So does this mean that downtown is now an adult? They passed the age of consent and emancipation and they don't need any more help because they've had over $12.4 billion of investment just since 1990. On our live line, we got folks from Indy downtown. Let's see now. On my screen, I see Catherine, but let me see. We have Sherry and we have Sherry Seward, Catherine Esselman. Guys, you there?
We are here.
How are you? So, $1.36 billion in the pipeline for real. Not a dream. This is reality. Between now and 2017, what kind of things are in the pipeline, guys?
Oh, wow. We got a lot of exciting projects coming. This is Catherine Amos. Yeah. Nice to talk with you today. Thanks for having us on. We have some residential projects, some new office space, and some renovations of some old office buildings. And we've got a lot of new amenities, a new YMCA, new grocery store, new transit center, a lot happening.
So now let me ask you a couple of things. First of all, on office space, is my understanding that 20% of all the office space in the Central Business District in the downtown area is vacant. So if people are adding new office space, and I've heard rumors that the old City Hall might become something, what are we doing to the other 20% in these offices that are vacant? What are we doing to get that down?
Well, I can tell you that some of the larger towers have recently got new ownership.
Okay.
So they're spending their own money to renovate the buildings and make it more attractive to try to get that occupancy level up.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like if I'm a business and want great office space at a decent price, I need to come downtown.
Yeah, I would highly recommend that. The trends we're seeing are new people in the market that weren't considering downtown before but are coming back due to the ease of access, the options available, and the collaboration that the employers and employees are seeking.
So do you think in terms of the office development, because the more space that's rented in offices, that means J-O-B-S, that's jobs, are we seeing that downtown may be finally turning the corner in terms of reducing that office space glut?
I think so. And hi, Amos, it's Sherry.
Hi, Sherry.
Yes, I think that we will start to see that a reduction in that vacancy. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the trends we're really seeing in the office market is the collaboration of space. So people want this open area and no more, you know, walls and doors that you can close. And so that really means in the tower space, renovating a lot of that office supply to meet the customer's desire. And so we're starting, as Catherine mentioned, with new ownership, we're starting to see some of that. So ideally with our new residential market, the folks occupying space, residential space downtown, I'm hoping that that will drive more, you know, jobs and companies want to locate downtown into that space.
Let me go to residential because every time I drive into a different area of downtown, I look up and somebody had opened another apartment or they've opened another condo. I didn't even know they built this 8 or 9 story thing on the canal. I thought it was an office building until I realized you could live there. Is it fair to say that the minute somebody puts an apartment or a condo up to the market, you know, folks be coming like roaches when the lights go on, except they're going to the place instead of away from it? Is it that hot?
The occupancy of downtown units that are available is about 96.5%.
Ooh.
So what that means is the supply is keeping up with demand, and rents are reflecting that.
You know, Amos, I would say, you know, nationally, there's certainly a trend to live in what we refer to as an authentic urban market. And right. So we're seeing that across the country in urban areas. It's great. We love it that, and I believe that we shared a housing report with you last year, right. That 38% of the people that are moving downtown are moving in from out of state.
Mm-hmm.
26% are moving in from surrounding counties. So, again, it's a trend that is occurring here, and we're delighted, but we're also seeing it all over the country.
Is downtown become more east of Meridian Street, is more residential for individual households or single families without kids or empty nesters, and west of Meridian Street, closer to IUPUI, they basically are over-glorified dorms, my term, not yours, in terms of a disproportionate number of IUPUI students or recent graduates?
I don't know that that's necessarily true.
Okay.
When you look at all of the apartments in downtown, that it has become sort of a campus for IUPUI. So we see a mix of student population, but we definitely see the 25 plus that have certainly graduated, the younger population, and mixed in with empty nesters. We would love to see more families with kids. We're seeing a slight uptick.
Mm-hmm.
In that, but
mm-hmm.
I think that you know as well as I that there are a number of other things that probably need to occur before we can attract and retain those families.
How concerned are you when I looked at the census data from the 2013 American Community Survey and looked at it for the discrete census tracts, the discrete neighborhood areas within Indy downtown, and we saw these very disturbing income disparities between white households and African American households, a disparity that does not exist in any other Indianapolis neighborhood, even in the most affluent Indianapolis neighborhoods out on the fringes of the county. Black and white incomes are fairly even. What is down? First of all, is downtown concerned about these huge disparities? Disparities as great as $56,000 in median household income between whites and blacks. How concerned is Indy downtown at this disparity? And what is Indy downtown doing to encourage more middle income and upper income African Americans to move downtown?
Amos, I will say that we don't track. From a race perspective, we have observed incomes,
mm-hmm.
and I share a little bit more about why that's important for downtown, but we've not looked at it from a racial makeup of who is moving downtown. I think that you make a valid point and that we need to be thoughtful about that. We certainly have been thinking about just, you know, from an attraction event perspective, how we become multicultural. But when I think about incomes, let me go back to the city's budget.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when property taxes were capped, that certainly kept the city's budget, their ability to grow their budget is really now reliant on the county option income tax.
Mm-hmm.
And so we tax people where they live, not where they work.
Mm-hmm.
So even though we have a number of folks that come to work downtown every day, they don't necessarily work in Marion County.
Right.
So when you look at the city's budget, 90% of it, over 90%, goes to pay for public safety.
Mm-hmm.
So that remaining 10% of the city's budget is available for all of our quality of life, everybody that lives within Marion County. And so when I think about attracting higher incomes, that's why it's important to me to grow that remaining 10% so that we downtown, but we the neighborhoods particularly, enjoy a better quality of life. And that's the only way that we're going to grow the city's budget and to pay for our parks and our infrastructure. And so, I go back to your valid point of we really do need to think about the racial makeup, but I have been equally as concerned about the income.
I'm concerned about the income. What I'm seeing in the census data is that downtown is doing an excellent job attracting white, not Hispanic whites, with strong incomes to move downtown, and they are doing a horrid job of attracting African Americans with strong incomes to move downtown. Because if they were, the disparity numbers would be reduced. They would be similar to the lack of disparity. If you look at incomes in Geist, if you look at incomes in the northwest part of Pike Township, if you look at incomes in some of the other upper middle class areas of Marion County, white and black income are nearly equal in those affluent areas. So obviously there are affluent African Americans living in those areas, but it doesn't seem to be occurring downtown, and it doesn't seem that all of these real estate developers, whether they're in the rental business, whether they're in the ownership business, they don't seem to be concerned to reach out and try to attract those, because if they were, the disparities would be reduced.
Well, and Amos, let me ask you, what do you think that we could do to attract minority, be it the millennial or empty nesters? What can we help the developers?
They need to be telling those African Americans, hey, instead of you wanting to go to Avon or Brownsburg or Fishers, we have opportunities for you, and they need to be reached on the mediums they depend on.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's how these areas opened up. I mean, when all these people were building houses out in Hancock County and this county and that county, they were on the radio all the time saying, come on out here and look at our open house. I remember when I sat in some living rooms three or four Saturdays in a row when we opened Fall Creek Place back in the day. I don't see that. That was the last time. And you know when Fall Creek Place started? That's what? Pushing now 15, 18 years ago? That was the last time any near downtown or downtown residential development opened their arms to the African American community.
Well, and that was probably the last time that we saw significant redevelopment, concentrated redevelopment of single family product. And, you know, there again, I think that that's the next trend
mm-hmm.
is how do we've seen great strength and growth in the development in downtown, but how do we concentrate that into the neighborhoods? And so we're starting to see some single family new construction and some a lot more redevelopment in some of the surrounding neighborhoods, but I think that that's really where we need to concentrate our efforts, our resources, and our marketing.
We're talking with Sherry Seward, president of Indy Downtown, Catherine Esselman, real estate development director with Indy Downtown. Guys, I got to ask you, the Indianapolis Business Journal is concerned about Circle Center Mall, says that maybe this is the time for, particularly in the context of an open mayoral election, for the candidates to really start looking and city leaders. What is the priority next for the mall? How concerned are you guys about the mall? Carson's is paying semi-free rent for the next 3 years because they might have threatened to take their little Carsons and move someplace else. I was at the mall 2 weeks ago and noticed a number of vacancies in the mall that I had not seen in a while. How concerned are you guys about the mall?
Fair question. As the IBJ article referenced, it's the 20th anniversary of the mall,
right.
And I believe that with Simon and the other partners involved, this is a great opportunity, and I know there's some things in the work to put some significant dollars in to renovate. So that includes freshening up the mall, right? So common spaces, restrooms, entrances. They're working on opening up the streetscape right. along Maryland and mm-hmm. along Meridian with some new retailers. They've gotten commitments from a couple retailers that are going to expand in the mall. And again, at the end of the day, Simon, who's the best in the game at running malls, is on our team, and they're not going to let this fall apart. They have a great confidence and are willing to work to get the right tenants in there. But you know, there are some concerns, but I think it's going to see its way through at the 20th anniversary this year.
Is my perception correct that we're not seeing the type of problems with young people at Circle Center than we saw maybe 2, 3, 4 years ago?
Yes, I'd agree.
Y'all need to say that out loud to the television station so the whole community knows it's safer down there.
Well, we're on your show today to answer those and to tell everybody that's listening.
Because
I will say, and I'm very proud of this statistic when I say it, that if you look at the entire county, we want to all feel safe and feel good, but of all of the crimes against persons and property, only 3% occur downtown.
Uh-oh. Occurred. Now, that's the good news. Yep. Let me ask both of you. Obviously, this is an election season, and one of the things that we've heard from listeners over the past year is a feeling that, okay, we've done all these things. There's been these billions of dollars worth of investment in downtown. And I kind of mentioned this in the open. Is downtown now healthy enough to stand on its own, that it doesn't need help from local taxpayers, that downtown has grown enough, the reality of growth is there, that the private marketplace, that the economy can sustain downtown and it doesn't need help from government, and government can now devote its attention to the neighborhoods?
I think that it depends on what type of development you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the developments on our list, I would suggest, have not received any sort of public subsidy.
Mm-hmm.
But I will also say that, as you're aware, we do have what's known as a downtown TIF.
Right.
And that TIF generates an amount of money every year. And the idea behind a TIF is that it gets reemployed into the footprint within the TIF. So most of the subsidy that is provided comes from the public subsidy, comes from that downtown TIF. It doesn't, and with any TIF, there's several neighborhood TIFs, you can't spend that money outside of that footprint. I think a lot of times when people hear about money being spent in downtown, it doesn't come out of the city's budget that we pay taxes on. It generally comes from that TIF.
But is downtown strong enough that maybe the TIF could be made a little smaller and some of the dollars in that would have been in the TIF can now go back to our Indianapolis public schools and go back to our police officers and firefighters and public safety and ambulance and the library to give them some relief?
Perhaps, and I'll be perfectly honest, I don't know mm-hmm. enough about what is contained in that TIF and what is held in reserve for projects
that
perhaps...
Still in the pipeline, right?
Right. I mean, oftentimes you hold a reserve
mm-hmm.
When you let bonds in anticipation that if, in fact, the project isn't successful, you have to have something that pays those back. So... I don't know enough about the TIF and the makeup of what's in there right now.
Now, I know Indy Downtown is always the people that says there are thousands of parking places downtown. There are plenty of places to park. You might have to walk a block to get to where you're going. And I say all that to bring up not the areas around the convention center or Lucas Oil Stadium, but the area around the city-county building. I think it's now slowly dawning on people who have to go to the city-county building to take care of business, not necessarily the employees there, but people who have been called for jury duty or people who have got to go down to court or people that have got to go down to an office. And those places you could park where Market Square Arena was back in the day and where the vacant lots were for many years, where you could park there, they're now gone. And I think people are suddenly discovering, I got to walk four or five blocks to the city county building. Did we make a mistake in not planning for parking alternatives to accommodate this apartment building that's going up plus the Cummins Engine headquarters?
Short answer is I don't think we made mistakes. I think if we were breaking ground and when it was warmer out, the temperatures isn't helping us right now with walking the extra blocks, but there's over 70,000 parking spots downtown, and it's a matter of maybe it's getting people to those spots easier and showing them where the spots are. But no, those two surface parking lots have been ready for development. We've all known that it was going to be developed. It's just now all happening at the same time. So we got to help educate where the parking is, but there is parking available.
I would put a little commercial in saying please go to Downtown Indy's website because we have a map of where all of the available parking is and what it costs and where the location is. I will also say that we are getting ready to engage in a parking study that will help analyze, again, the amount of parking, where it is related to any new development, and even proposes where additional parking should perhaps be. That study will encompass Mass Avenue, Fountain Square, and the Market East District, which is the location that you're speaking about.
One final thing on how hot downtown housing is. Is it normal or abnormal for a condo to be on the market for a year? How long, in terms of owned property, not rental property, how long do condos stay on the market downtown? I know in other areas of the city, a prospective home might be on the market 3 to 6 months before a sale. What's the norm downtown for people who are buying condos or townhouses downtown? How long does a property stay listed before there's a buyer? What's the average?
Not very long. I just was meeting with a realtor who has an office on Mass Ave a couple days ago, and she is can't get her hands on enough inventory. People are not wanting to put their house on the market because it'll sell too quick, and then they won't have anywhere to move to. So there is a shortage of inventory in that condo market, which is why we see, and you'll see on our project list, why we are tracking some new residential for sale options coming online in some of the neighborhoods surrounding downtown to try to keep up with the demand.
All right, Sherry Seward, President, Catherine Esselman, Real Estate Development Director with Indy Downtown. And if you want more information on, first of all, where the parking lots are, if you got to go, if you've been called for jury duty and you think there's still a parking lot right across the street from the city county building like there's been for the last 30 or 40 years, it ain't there no more. So you got to find out where the parking lots are. You can go to downtownindy.org, downtownindy.org, and find out that information as well as all the great places that you can go downtown and get ready for the Final Four weekend.
That's right. Come on down.
All right, guys. Thanks very much for being with us. Glad to have you. 239-1310. 239-1310. It's After News with Amos.